All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Oh, cool. Thanks for joining me on the beach.
Fun and festive. The dog days of summer.
With the dog, the crack of the bat. It's baseball time.
The boys of summer are back in town.
Yep. There's just one song about the boys being back. So many fucking Christmas songs. I have been here for the last several months. As people know, we record these well in advance.
Oh, absolutely. Did you hear that episode about the... about the eclipse that came out a month after the eclipse?
Yeah, it's now 2024. So I record these well in advance. I've been laboring for months. I have written the names of games in microscopic text on these grains of sand.
Holy shit.
You're standing on the entirety of video game history.
Oh.
You see that dog on there, over there?
Oh, he's got no bones.
He's pissing on the Atari era.
Okay.
Like the entirety of it. It's just soaking down.
No great loss.
No great loss. This cat over here, it's burying a turd all over Sonic Mania. So,
my feelings
come
are hurt
at me,
now.
Bros. But I figured what I'd do is I'd just have you grab a random grain of sand, maybe roll around on the ground like Boneless Dog, and see if any of them get stuck in your beard. And then we'll put them in this microscope.
Yep, the microscope.
It's like
a microscope, but one better.
Get the microscope to come arrest us and put us in sand jail, where we can then read the name of the game.
Where we can wait for Micro Scott to come bail us out.
Hello!
So I'm not going to roll around because, as you know, once sand gets somewhere, it never goes away. I'm going to take this dainty pair of tweezers and... doink!
If you rolled around, you might have a bunch of Final Fantasies encrusting up your junk for, like, a long time. Just picking Dirge of Cerberus out of your pubes.
As opposed to the 6 weeks we just went through, right?
That's over there. There's a dead jellyfish desiccating on top of that. 6 weeks.
No,
it's just disgusting.
I've got it is the graveyard of the world.
Yes.
Adjacent to the world's toilet.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I've got this one right here in this dainty little pair of tweezers.
Get Microscott over here to bring the microscope.
All right.
It's going to take a little while to drag it because he's little.
I'd help him, but I know that would hurt his self-esteem.
Well, Andy doesn't get paid if you help. Like, we're not paying him. We're not paying you to do his job.
Right, yeah.
Microscott. And it's the nice thing about feeding him is that he just gets fed in ramen flavor packets. To bring home to his family to spice up his protein meal.
See, that's the thing. He uses those as his bed, too.
Yeah.
And so it's a choice between either a sodium meal or sleeping comfortably.
Yeah, he's had a rough life. We'll have to, at some point, we'll do an episode on Microscope. But for now, he's just here to bring us the microscope.
Okay, well, he's almost done.
Okay,
there we go. It's on the slide. And let me look at this bad boy here. It says... Gary, I think Micro Scott is playing a joke on us. I think he's just saying hi.
Scott?
Scott, why does this say yo, bro?
Let me see. Well, there's nothing on Google. It doesn't have a Wikipedia. He must be playing a joke.
No Wikipedia. I haven't checked Moby Game. Wait a minute.
Oh, there we go. Moby's coming through for us like he always does.
Yeah, it's coming up from the south side. This is an actual thing. It's yo, bro, for the TurboGrafx 16.
Scott, you are made of stars. This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Outer Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Who did this?
So this is a demand episode by the one and only Garrett, the one who gave us the axes. Garrett.
Oh, hey, Garrett.
Yeah, the one we met in outside Chicago, but in Milwaukee, who says, I don't know if you have a history with these, so apologies if I'm repeating myself. This is pretty much a poor man's Zombie Ate My Neighbors. I remember playing it a lot when I was younger, when my mom found a TurboGrafx 16 for $15 and games for $5. I remember it not controlling very well.
Checks out.
Yeah.
Check that out, Garrett.
So I'm not sure if Garrett if the TG-16, the PC Engine, was the only video game system that Garrett had as a young child.
Yeah.
But we might be approaching something that is adjacent to the TurboGrafx-16 kid experience with this.
Mm. Yeah. It looks good.
Yeah.
It looks good and sounds good.
I've never played a TurboGrafx-16 game that looks bad. I'm positive they exist. The few that we've done for the show have actually been fine in the presentation department.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think that this is like a shitty Zombies Ate My Neighbors, except it's real weird because it's based on an aborted attempt at a Beach Boys extended universe called Camp California.
Wait a minute,
that
what?
Never happened.
Oh. I didn't see this. Like, I know that obviously the music, but really?
Yeah. Yeah, there's two games. There's a series. There's two games for the TurboGrafx-16 that are based on these bears that were apparently Beach Boys, like, attempts at mascots.
Right.
But the transmedia, there's no information that this is all, like, people guessing at this based on the games. So there's not, again, there's no Wikipedia. but they were supposed to be this, like, Sunday afternoon Beach Boys thing about these bears named, and this one's named Bro, Little Bro, and there's also Big Bro who shows up,
right?
And you can find Camp California on YouTube, and it is an insane looking platformer. Your proportions, like, you look like a human, not even in a bear suit because it's not very bulky.
Okay,
it's like you look like a human wearing like a very thin set of bear clothing. It's very strange looking.
Huh.
And you walk forward and punch things. Like, it's real weird. You got to pull up some Camp California.
Yeah, I'm pulling this up now. So I feel like I have not lived up to my responsibilities here because, I mean, the Beach Boys connection was not apparent in any of the play or research that I did. Again, aside from these, like, kind of okay, you know, chiptune arrangements of Beach Boys songs.
Yeah. Well, I thought...
Go ahead.
Or what I saw was the... either Moby Games or it's in the game facts. It said they were Beach Boys mascots.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that doesn't sound right to me. Like, Beach Boys don't have a mascot.
Not
this era. Like, nobody cared about the Beach Boys in the 90s. And I looked up, like, Beach Boy mascot. Nothing popped up. Oh, and some combination of search terms brought me to an article that talked about both these games.
Au contraire. Nobody cared about the Beach Boys in the 90s. Do I need to tell you the name of a little somebody named John Stamos?
Does he care about the Beach Boys?
What is this referencing? Full House. The Beach Boys appeared on Full House a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And by which I mean the monstrosity that Mike Love kept
Mike
alive.
Love. Yeah.
Fucking Mike Love.
Yeah. Yeah. Bah, 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 bah. Bah, I'm Mike Love. Bam, bam, bam. In the middle of the song. Bam, 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 bam.
Gary, I want to sinkhole to open up beneath Mike Love.
I first learned about Mike Love with the Bell and Sebastian B-side or single I Love My Car, where he's talking about things he loves and he says, I can even love Mike Love. And I was like, oh,
man, if you can make room in your heart for Mike Love, then you are a bigger man than I.
Yeah, I don't care for Mike Love.
No.
I feel real bad for, like, when Brian Wilson finally released his, like, remix version of Smile,
mm-hmm.
and he had to, like, find in because a lot of those songs are already written. Mm-hmm. So he had to find a ringer to come in and do that, bah, 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 like Mike Love bits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody had to be like the discount Mike Love, like Mike.
Mike.
Yeah. Mike. And then he digivolves into Mike Lust.
Oh, no. Oh, man. I'm Mike Love you, but I'm not in Mike Love with you.
Yeah. It's like a good greeting card.
Yeah. So I had no idea that they had attempted to do this kind of thing. Like, but these are very... very obviously, like, Saturday morning cartoon kind of designs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was absolutely expecting when I Googled this to find, like, a shitty cartoon.
Yes.
Like, and the thing that, like, definitely showed that dog that surfs around on that bodyboard with a weed whacker attached to the front of it that
yes.
you fight.
Yeah.
That feels like that's such, like, a rad dog's kind of, like, you know, expression. Like, he's like, looks very like extreme.
Yeah.
In a way that I was certain, like, oh, this guy, you know, got fought one, you know, every week.
Yeah.
On this cartoon.
Yeah, I've got to say, though, I am kind of impressed by, like, how big these sprites are and how quick everything is moving. Like, I just, again, TG-16, yeah. I wish there were better games for it. And it makes sense that the Beach Boys mascot kind of initiative would have leaned in on the loser system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're kind of a loser band.
You know, I mean, monks. At that point, they didn't even own their own instruments.
Yeah. Yeah, this would be, and the weird thing about this game too is it would be a good game if you could get off your fucking skateboard.
Yeah,
like the hook of it is the bad thing about it. Otherwise, yes. Like, you know, it's really strange that there weren't Zombies Ate My Neighbors like knockoffs, really.
Yeah,
there
aside from like what Herc's Adventures,
one, and then kind of like Ghoul Patrol or yeah. Ghoul School or whatever.
But you know, Ghoul Patrol or Ghost Patrol, that was like a sequel though, right?
Yeah, so that doesn't really count. So there weren't very many, you know. As a thing, and it's just kind of weird to see one and just have it have this hook that's like, so one of the things, first things I did in this was like get up to, you know, a decent speed and start trying to do tricks.
Obviously,
and you can do
yeah.
like 360s and stuff, but nothing happens. You don't get a point. You don't even, because this game keeps a running commentary on itself.
Yeah, you like pain? Rad rail. Rad bail, bro. Rad bail, bro.
stay in school, kid.
No way, puppy.
Yeah, no way, puppy.
Hack.
So it tells you this actually eventually turns into a Superman shooting game. I just got to that point in the long play. Uh-oh. but it's like, you know, and it keeps this commentary. And it's like this guy should acknowledge my sick trick.
He should, yeah.
You know, this is not my bro if he's not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because like jumping and accidentally pressing a direction is the major source of bailouts.
Mm-hmm.
In this game.
Yeah, and so like it should reward you for the risk by giving you like maybe more health or
yeah.
something like that. Like it has,
right, even just points, like even just like a, you know, like that wouldn't be great, but it would at least like feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, god, he's flying through the sky as Superman, fighting off fighter jets shooting missiles at him.
Oh,
like
god,
it's very strange. Like your bro gets pretty strange.
I'm not seeing this at all.
It's in the long play for Yo Bro. It's not until about 20 minutes in.
Here he is. It's a RoboCop pastiche at 55 minutes. What the fuck?
It's a Yo Bro was going to be like, this is deep shit, man.
Yeah, like this was going to be the next James Pond.
This is some dark web.
this is some like alternate universe Dark Tower, like Nozzle shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh my god.
Him putting on that robo suit, like these weird like muscle guys from the window shooting. I'm like, this is like we mentioned last week, like this is so classics of game.
Yeah.
Like I cannot get enough of this aesthetic.
Yeah. Also back to classics of game. I don't know if this is too kink shamey or whatever, but Camp California has a definite inflation fetish vibe to it.
Yeah.
Because when you take out some of these things that look like tiny Chuck E. Cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more rat-like Chuck E. Cheese's. I think that like they're carrying helium tanks with them, and you kick the helium tank into their mouth, and then they blow up, and their belly button pops out, and they float away. Like mm-hmm. somebody's
pregnant with Sonic's baby.
Yeah. It's just like I think that somebody's a little bit rock hard at this. I think we got a little bit of Tiny Toon Adventures thing going on here. You know?
Yeah. It's what ruined it, because the Beach Boys were like very much into like, you know, abstinence only.
Right, right.
I feel like
that's what they pushed.
Yeah, him getting inflated like that is definitely weird, and just floating off into the sky.
Like, okay, so yeah, that's pretty grisly. Like best case scenario, he deflates and lands thousands of miles away from home,
like maybe in the water.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, sucked into a jet engine. We got ourselves a Chesley Sully Sullenberger sitch.
Well, when we know there are jet engines, like it's been established,
right,
in the prequel to this. Yo Bro. Yeah, it's very weird. Did you notice in Yo Bro like how when you don't save kids they turn into pretty grisly skeletons?
Yes. Yeah.
I love that because I came across those before I saw what was doing it. So I got to the second level of this, the Killer Bees level. I was walking around and I just saw this like kid skeleton on the ground. I'm like, well, that's weird. There's a kid skeleton.
You have to stumble on them while they're being skeletified.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they'll remain like skeletons will just lay on the ground.
Yeah.
I just happened to walk in while a bee was like stripping the flesh from a kid.
I mean, it took me seeing that to actually understand what, like, where those skeletons were coming from, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so you see them, you follow this trail of skelecrums, and it's like pretty good. And there's also, like, later there are T-Rexes that you blow up and turn into gigantic, like T-Rex skulls.
Just with the power of your slingshot.
The slingshot and, like, weird grenades that you have. But the skulls kind of, like, crumble on their own, too. It's a very, like, it's a very skeleton-friendly game.
Okay, yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah.
So Skeleton Warriors, but...
That'll be put on the box, too.
Yeah.
I love
Beach Boys.
Skeleton-friendly Beach Boys. I love these T-Rexes because they're not the T-Rexes that you're imagining if you're listening to this. They're like little chibi T-Rexes. They're SD.
They would be riding like a moped.
Yeah.
You know, in a Rat Fink comic. Like, this whole thing has a little bit of Rat Fink to it. So I don't know. I was genuinely happy to play this. Like, I was like pretty excited to find out this exists.
It's super goofy. I had no idea that I was supposed to rescue the kids when I was playing it. So I was just kind of like avoiding them because I thought like that would be pretty dark if this entire game was about a bear hunting down children and rolling over them until they disappear. Like the there is a different moral to that. I think
you can shoot them and then you say sorry, kid, as they disappear. On your little thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't, you know, the killer bees got so many of them that by the time I was hunting down the rest of the killer bees, like, you know,
yeah,
once I realized what was going on, it was too late.
The killer bees was definitely a huge difficulty jump.
Yeah. And we have to talk about how this is hard to control, like what the problem
is. Yes, we ought to, because you're not just running up, down, left, and right like it is a Zombies Ate My Neighbors. You are on a skateboard, which has two different control modes, neither of which are exactly graceful or intuitive.
What is the second one? Because I read that it exists, but I accidentally pressed start past the opening screen.
Yeah, I had such a bad time with the first one that I had to skip. I had to like restart it and go and try the other one. So control two is actually almost like a tank controller. So left and right, they alter your facing, and pressing up will accelerate you, as opposed to the first one, which is you move in the direction that you press, but your rotation is factored in.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
So like if you're trying to turn around, you have to do this like kind of like auto controlled language loop that will get you in trouble.
Yeah And you can sometimes kind of tap and turn around, but the biggest issue is very hard to like stay still and face a direction,
right?
And this, which is a lot of times early on the things you're fighting are stationary, eventually they start moving, and I was like, is the idea that I'm supposed to do like bombing runs on these, like skip past them and like, you know? And it made me want to, like, if this game wasn't so obscure, I wonder if there's like a really strong speed run of it.
Yeah.
Cause I could almost see like somebody mastering this looking pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like getting up to top speed, because you do move really fast for a game of this vintage once you're at full speed.
As it stands though, like that works against you because you can only hit somebody when you are facing them.
Yes.
And if you're moving toward them, you only have a limited amount of time to actually get a hit in before you have to make another like strafing run, you know?
And you have to be lined up perfectly to like stop facing them.
Yeah. Unless you have like a special, like a Molotov cocktail or whatever, which will give you like a slight AOE.
Yes. And just in case anybody missed that part, like your weapons go from Molotov or from slingshot, and then you upgrade directly to Molotov cocktail.
Yep.
So like he turns into, you know, pretty woke pretty quick.
Yes, pretty woke. Like, I was wondering which direction you were gonna go there, buddy.
Molotov cocktails have been recontextualized to be good now.
Okay, I can't keep up.
Yeah, it's you know, Dave Webb secrets. did you beat, so if you got the killer bees, you got to see the little dance he does when you beat a level?
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
very fun.
Yeah,
yeah, into that.
Man, Zombies Ate My Neighbors is a really good game.
Yeah it's one of them too. It's in that early UOF thing where I feel like we did it fine.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to revisit it. I just like it as a game. Like, you know what would have been really awesome would have been a Zombies Ate My Neighbors arcade port.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because it already plays like a lot like an arcade game in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be very fun, like give four player, like do a revival four player Zombies Ate My Neighbor, and then introduce like, you know, Ted and Zippy or something, like two other 90s kids.
Yeah, Zippy, that perennial 90s kid name.
Yeah, yep, the titular pinhead. So
yeah, you're onto something. I think that'd be very fun.
I think that'd be great.
For some reason, I'm picturing it almost as like a twin stick thing, but I think that actually kind of ruin it, because like facing and knowing when to take your stand in that is kind of a huge deal mm-hmm. in that game. Like stick and run is much better than just like, okay, I'm moving and shooting with impunity.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that. It's kind of like the Ghostbusters arcade game. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like that a little bit. I think that might actually be a twin stick, but you also have like facing. I think it might be that it's been a long time since I played it. It might be one of those things where you rotate the stick. Atari Warriors.
Yeah.
Did you know that you could go indoors in this game?
No.
I did not know that either. Like you can though. You can bust in, you can use Molotov cocktails to open up some things to get bonus levels where you go around like a warehouse and collect power-ups.
My bro's house contains many mansions.
Yes. And then it turns into a vertical shooting Gradius like around the 124 minute mark. Like this is a lot of value to it. It's getting like a lot of variety and stuff too. Like this is not a cheap product.
No.
Like it doesn't feel careless. It's very strange because the MIDI arrangements are good.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, that's about as good as you can expect for like a Help Me Rhonda on MIDI, you know.
I was very kind of taken aback. Now, that sounds bad, but it's not what I mean. I was surprised when I loaded this up and just like, oh, that's California Girls. That's weird and unlicensed, probably. And so to find out that yes, it was quite licensed. It was made with blessing. Mm-hmm. Was quite strange.
I was very surprised by that myself.
You mentioned the speed run. Like I'm kind of shocked looking at the long play of this that it's an hour and 42 minute game.
It seems like it. Yeah. So somebody playing it perfectly takes that long. Like I'm very surprised.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Not much in the way of GameFAQs gold on this.
There's a little bit. I thought.
Yeah. There's some chicanery on the message board, but that's about all that I saw.
Yeah, there's definitely some chicanery in the message board. There's a guy who has posted seemingly unending articles from the bro code.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know if these are actually from a book called The Bro Code. And it's pretty misogynist, as you'd expect something called The Bro Code to be.
Right.
But then it also has things like, bros will not share dessert.
You know, so misogynist and homophobic. Oh my god!
Yeah, a bro never removes his shirt in front of other bros unless he's at a resort pool or beach.
Oh man, I really wish that I had a safe search on.
Yeah.
There is brocode.com.
Oh no.
Yeah. Download 100% working 8-ball pool multiplayer hack. You urge a pool 8-ball pool game? Unquestionably. Such end game present grabbed millions over the internet. Yeah, this is a spam blog. The Bro Codex by Barney Stinson. So, okay, cool. Good
is
job,
that, is
buddy.
Is it a book or is it just like a website?
It's a website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I hate this bro code.
It's really bad. Article 63. A bro will make any and all effort to provide his bro with protection. Brotection forms a...
A bro is always psyched, always. Like if you ever meet somebody who takes this kind of thing like not even seriously, but even thinks it's like not below reproach, you know, like looks at something like this and they're just like, yeah, you know, I love the bro code, like I just think it's funny.
Yeah.
Don't hang out with them anymore.
Right.
Stop liking them.
What's amusing to me is that, or let's say confusing. Confusing or amusing is that this is being brought up in relation to Barney Stinson, who I'm led to believe that that is what's his name, Neil Patrick Harris's character.
He's one of the Who You
on,
Met His Mothers.
Yes, the people who met a mother.
Yeah,
people who met a mom once.
I love my curvy mom.
I love my curvy mom. Yeah. I don't care who says. I don't care anybody says.
Yeah.
This might actually be a book. This might actually be a book that was put out. Barney Stinson, Matt Coon. Yep, that is what's going on.
Oh, that sucks.
Yep, that is an official piece of How I Met Your Mother. H-I-M-Y-M. How I Met Your Mother merchandise.
93% of Google users like that book.
Bull.
If this is actually if these are actually the bro codes from the book, like one, this guy who decided to transcribe all 150 entries of the bro code onto about 8 message board posts on the Yo Bro.
I've never seen somebody hit the character limit on.
There's some games where like they don't really have facts, they just have things in the message board.
Yeah,
because people haven't figured it out. I've seen it there, but like this is dedication to no good end.
Yeah,
100%. The guy who wrote the other thing that's kind of interesting, the guy who wrote the fact for this is it and wrote the one review of it is a very sweet boy.
he is a pretty sweet boy in a
pretty sad way. So like Riley here, Randy Lilly,
RJ Lilly, yeah.
Who anybody who's read my guides knows about my biasness toward the TurboGrafx-16. I absolutely adore the system. Whenever I brag about the system, I state how I own Bonk's Adventure / Revenge, Bomberman, Tailspin, Cybercore, and a few others. Among them is Yo Bro, which is one of the greatest games I have ever played.
Oh.
Okay, yo. Okay. okay, buddy. So just, you know, pretty good, you know, just standard game facts, like pretty garbage. The booklet, so it's just kind of over enthusiasm, and then in the review he's also over enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, he's real up on this. I wish they all could be California girls.
The cheat that's in this, listen to this this phrasing on the cheat that's listed in Game Facts.
Okay.
When the first stage begins, you'll find a building right above you. Skate up to it and throw a bomb at the door under the green awning. Once inside, you'll have 30 seconds to grab as many power-ups as possible inside the giant warehouse. Now that you're powered up, it's time to take out some baddies. Like, who wrote that?
I think Major Mike?
Yeah, what is Major Mike? Here's the other part that's interesting about this, is that one of the versions, Camp California, which used the TurboGrafx-16 version, has an audio track with it. Here, let me see. Cheaper key to this music. Oh, and there's also a music CD that you can get of Camp California, this extended universe. which, yeah, it costs $4, which makes you kind of want to get it. And it's kind of like the audio play version of this cartoon they wanted to do. The CD Camp California, Where the Music Never Ends, features the voice work of Nancy Cartwright, Jess Harnell, who is the Wacko from Animaniacs. Mm-hmm. Hal Rail, which is Raphael from Ninja Turtles,
right.
And Kath Soucie, which is Linka from Captain Planet. The music is arranged by Gordon and Lisa Goodwin, who did the music for Animaniacs and Fern Gully. So it is right in the high-rent 90s cartoon wheelhouse.
Jesus.
Characters were created by Edward Garner and David Fontana, the same Fontana who directed the animation for Rugrats.
Good God. Yeah, right? This thing was like raring to go.
It was so ready to like launch. What was the last thing we did that was like... boy, this is a transmedia property.
And oh, Family Dog?
Yeah, Family Dog was... Well, I wasn't thinking of that, where there wasn't a transmedia thing to it. Because oh. Family Dog, there's a cartoon.
Yeah.
Skeleton Crew. Where it's like, you look at Skeleton Crew, and you're like, oh, yeah. This is definitely like rearing up for a cartoon and a novel and all these things. It just never happened.
Right. So. Yeah. Huh. There's another one on the message board here where somebody took it upon themselves to post a thread just entitled "Yo, attention, bro," and then started posting creepypasta, and I was a little bit disappointed because I thought like, oh, somebody is writing this kind of strange fiction, like in the medium of Game Facts post, and I was like, oh my gosh, talking about this, you know, ghost of a woman in a hotel room and et cetera. And then I just like, no, let me check here. Google. Nope. It's just like part of this creepypasta repository that somebody just grabbed and put in here.
It's very weird that the Yo Bro like message board is just a slot to put anything you want. Like the only thing within it is what we bring with us.
Yes.
You know, which is a Star Wars thing and they didn't do it on purpose. I was thinking of the Venture Brothers. Brian
specifically. Like, I haven't listened to that episode of Days of Future Cast yet. Did he catch you out on some Star Wars stuff?
No, but I did something somebody pointed out on the Slack, and I did not realize it was quite as brutal an own as it was that I did to him in Revenge, Defending Your Honor, which was what was he talking about? He was talking about the episode of the Extended Universe podcast he did with Jeremy, which is there's a whole part of like Luke exploring Leia's womb through the Force.
Uh-oh.
It's very, very gross. And like Ryan said something about it. And I was like, I'm very glad you've dedicated your entire life to a series that treats you with the same respect you treat it. Very sarcastic, which is kind of a mean thing to say.
Oh, geez.
And I have no room to talk because as somebody who has like dedicated my life to various things that don't have any respect for me.
Right.
But you know, it's like, what are you gonna do?
Right.
You know, it's too late now.
Yeah.
Can't start respecting Star Wars at this point. I'm trapped.
I didn't know if you were embarked.
I've gone on a couple dates with a girl who is a Star Wars fan, and it's been one of those things where I get to, like, you know, because there is, you know, we talk about this a lot, like, we're mostly ourselves in the show, but there's an element of playing a character, like, in all the stuff we do.
Yeah.
Like, things get played up. So, like, once something is kind of funny to like or dislike or have an opinion about something, mm-hmm. you know, we'll play it up. Like, it's not like I like Star Wars, but
right.
I definitely play up how much I dislike it.
Right. Like, if somebody were to, like, listen in when the two of us were in a room, well, we'd be much more quiet together.
We'd be quoting The Force Awakens to each other left and right.
Of course, yeah. That's not part of our kind of, like, everyday life to talk about this stuff. Just for some reason comes up because we talk about video games in video games crib heavily. Yes.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where it's like, I don't really like it, but I go through my whole life without thinking about it until it pops up on the show, really.
Right.
And then because I don't like it, people bring it up to me. So then it becomes up more often, you know?
Right.
So it's been interesting to talk to her and just be able to be like, yeah, no, it's not really for me, but I don't, you know, it's fine. And then, you know, at some point it's going to come out that, like, you know, some podcast where I really play it up.
Oh, trade. Where it's going to be like, oh, so, like, this is what you think of me?
Yeah, I hope not. Like, I have enough faith in her not to think that.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of a shitty thing to say about a person I've never met, but that's the worry, right? That's
the worst case scenario.
That would be the anxiety that I would carry with me about that.
Worst case scenario is that somebody thinks that I'm looking down on them, literally, you know, actually think less of them for this thing they like, which I don't care. And also, like, she doesn't have her identity tied up in it that much.
Right. So here's my question. Like, how did this come up? Was it just like, were you taking inventory on each other's kind of like likes, or did she bring it to you?
We were looking for something to do on a second date, and at the nearby park, they do outdoor movies in Portland pretty frequently, and they were showing Willow. And I wanted to see Willow, and it came up because of that, because of the George Lucas connection.
Right.
Which is nice because I'm doing a guest spot on a podcast on Thursday about Willow. Oh, so cool. I got to kind of multitask. And also, I love Willow. And I've never seen it on a big screen, even if it wasn't like a park on a big inflatable number.
Yeah, yeah.
And it totally stands up. It is super charming and good.
I am happy, Gary, as your friend. I'm happy that you got to see it as your creative partner. I'm very happy somebody else is fulfilling that need for you to talk about Willow on a show.
It's not an adaptation or anything. It would be very difficult to do, even though I think we could probably do the NES game at some point,
because
that's like a weird Capcom, like, actually pretty good game.
Yeah. Yeah. You've said.
Yeah. it's good. Like, it's not making it up.
No, it's
extremely good, man.
I wanted to say you said in the cattiest way possible. Yeah.
Totally. I have no idea how somebody, like, can watch Willow and be like, this is dumb, but Star Wars is good.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they're both dumb. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it is dumb. It's just like one of them is,
it's, I mean,
takes itself really seriously and is a 10,000 novel extended property. And one of them is just like a fantasy novel where you get to see Warwick Davis be super charming.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's also the dumb that you that you know, and the dumb that you have decided to care about, that you've made room for, you know?
Yeah. And it's not that dumb. Some parts are very good. It's actually, but it's funny because you watch something like kind of woke in 2017 and it's like, wait, Saoirse kind of sucks in this. And I was really expecting Saoirse to be more of a badass. Saoirse, of course, being the daughter of the wicked Queen Bev Morda and Mad Mardigan's love interest through it. There's also love potions in it. And now, like, we talked about that on Monster My Podcast a lot. Like, love potions are pretty uncomfortable in this year, 2017.
Little bit of a mind control parentheses amulets vibe to
that. Yeah. Yeah. I don't no longer care for mind control amulets. I outgrew my mind control amulets.
I cast my amulet aside.
Yep, throw my amulet into the ocean. No longer shall you move my dick, you cursed dunk of metal.
I'm more sophisticated these days. You know, I think that I've grown as a person. I moved on to pendants.
Yeah, I've moved on to pendants and scepters. I think that's Yobro.
I think that's Yobro. Also a little bit of Club California.
Yeah. Yeah, Club California, and that CD, which is $4, which makes me want to get it because it's got a bunch of cartoon voice actors doing this very weird thing to arrangements of Beach Boy songs.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I got to show this to once Talking Simpsons does their generalized animation show, like, blow their mind, because those dudes, like, are way more into that like 90s animation than I am. Like, yeah, I think that like, I wonder if they know about it, you know, just like, it's like, I have this feeling of like, maybe I know something that like these experts don't know, you know? So that's a cool feeling.
Just bring it to their front door.
Yeah. Like, not in a, like, you know, I have a secret, like, you know, answer me these questions and I'll give you the answer. Just like more like, hey, have you guys heard of this fucking weird thing?
Yeah.
I got I went and did record with those guys. I met Henry, and he's very nice.
Yeah.
In real. He's a nice dude.
Yeah, seems pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, what can people do if they like the show?
Can I do some follow up here real quick? I'm going to anonymize an anecdote from our Slack.
Okay.
This is somebody who I believe works in academia. Who has a follow-up to the Sparkster episode, saying one of our projects our researchers conducted was extracting phosphorus from urine through urine diversion mechanisms and toilets. In any promotional materials we wrote for this project, which was a lot, we could never say piss or pee, only urine or the golden stuff.
I feel like urine, I can't stop thinking or say like urine without being like, you know, YOURIN.
Yeah.
You know, like urine always seems like that to me.
Yeah. I just wanted to share that because I thought that was funny.
Yeah. I'm glad someone did some piss research. Yeah. the dream job.
The real golden stuff. Yeah. If people like the show, you can go to, let's do something different. If you're going to be buying anything on Amazon, consider going to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and using the Amazon links there. If you're going to be, you know, buying something there, will not cost you anything extra. And whatever you buy, we get a small cut of whatever that cost. So just it's a way for us to get a kickback whenever you do shopping you otherwise would have done anyway.
And not like a crooked union kickback.
No, like an affiliate program kind of thing that actually goes a long way toward helping us.
Yeah. Good kickback. You can also directly support us through Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, that is by far probably the best way to support us, but there are lots of other things you can do as well.
Yep.
Share it with your friends, rate and review it. Things like that are all useful as well.
Yeah.
I think that's probably about it.
Yeah.
Until next time, who's California dog?
Who is ooh dog.
Okay. I kind of knew what you were referencing.
Yeah, I wasn't on the right key, but it was what is it?
Good
vibrations.
Yeah, good vibrations. Yeah.